Log.
You love me. Self high five. Hey guys, and welcome to YRG Radio Roundtable, and we think we've got all the kinks out of this, and let me just hear a little test from you, Robert. Can I hear you out there?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, cool. Very good. So, bottom line, can you still hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Hit mute, so that doesn't work like that. So anytime you send me one of those little messages, I'll hear whoop. Okay. Better that than having all the static and going, maybe go to another room or try another phone. For those of you who are just clicking on here and you may have trouble getting into the chat room, you can give Robert a call and ask him. But Robert, what should people do that are coming onto the site right now that want to jump into the chat room? Who, what should they try to do here?
Well, what I did was I went just to yrgradio.com and you click on where it says YRG Radio Roundtable, or you can click just below that where it says play/chat, and it should bring everything up.
Okay, cool. So if anybody has any questions about that, if they can't get into the chat room, like Terry seems to have a problem with that, but Terry's our co-host tonight. Since Yoga Doc bogeyed on us again, I'm sure he has some bullshit excuse, but I really bust his balls here for two shows in a row. I think it's maybe three. The birthday thing will go and the rock and roll thing will go one thing, but it was one of those. He sent me an email not even an email. It was a post on my Facebook at like 1 o'clock in the morning, his time. So I said, thanks for the balls for actually calling me, pal. So he won't be missed because we have Terry Lang with us today, and she is the original regular guy. How you doing tonight, Terry?
Hey, I'm doing great. And when I see Yoga Doc on Tuesday, I'll give him some garbage too. But good to talk to y'all.
Well, good to have you here. And we're going to bring Judy Newman, even though she was our guest last week. That was coming Judy Newman. Judy Davis is coming on here today. We had her up last week, but as you know, if you listened last week, the debacle, which was the show, we, like I said, we finally got the kinks worked out. But before we get to that, I want to bring up, I got an interesting message, you know, because anybody who actually messages me on teamyrg.com as a member of TeamYRG, I always get back to you. It may take me a couple of days, but I'll always definitely read it, and I'll definitely get back to you. And Mark, I didn't get his whole name here. Just let me look it up. That'll take too long. Either way, Mark had a great suggestion for me. He was talking about putting in groups. He said, I think it would be nice to search members by location. It would be much easier to meet and support each other and maybe even get some group workouts in. And I noticed in some of the groups, our biggest group is the YRG Kitchen Warriors. And that's at 22, which is pretty strong. And our Soldiers, which is at 9. So it would be really cool, I think, for any guys who are listening, to start like an Atlanta group. I know we've got a lot of people in the Atlanta area. It could be Orlando, wherever you're from. If you want to start to get a group together, I think it's great to interact and actually maybe get some group workouts together. It would be pretty cool. And I know some people out there are wanting to get YRG certified. I am actually going to put something up about that in the next week, no more than 2 weeks. So I'm actually going to hold Terry, I want you to hold me to that, to write it up so I can tell people how they can get certified. And I'm doing it online. I did the first one with John Barr. I'm actually doing the second one with a buddy of mine that I got to meet, who's from New Zealand. His name is Sean Hughes, and he's going to be doing the online certification. So I'm putting that together, and I'll tell you what the cost is and blah, 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 because I literally do it myself. I mean, I'm going to have you do the Diamond Dozen, put it on video, put it up on your site, let me know, I'll go look at it, and then I want you to put together a like a 20-minute workout, then a 40, and I'll critique them and tell you what you need to change and blah, blah, blah. So that'll be up in the next 2 weeks, a little more detail. And also want to let you know that a lot of people have asked me about doing a retreat type of thing, for lack of a better word. I don't really like the word retreat, but we'll call it that till I come up with a better word. A YRG type of weekend type of situation that could be 3 days, 5 days, or 7 days. And I'm going to post this up on the want people's opinion. Would you want to go? I was thinking about doing, you know, at an island or something like that. Now, but that costs too much money as far as having to fly that far or whatever. So I thought about keeping it in the States, and I thought about Tampa, because Tampa is pretty centrally located to a lot of different areas that still got the warmth and stuff. And I'm going to actually put up on that, would you rather do it in Florida when the weather's beautiful and it's really expensive, or would you like to do it in the summertime where it's going to be hot as hell, but it's going to be cheaper? And, you know, it's mainly for the group, and I think with people, you know, connecting and doing it for as least money as possible, but still having a great trip. And I'll put together what, you know, ask questions, because I want to know. I got to put at least 40 people together to do this, and that could be members of families or whatever. I know, like, the Wilkersons, they came all the way from Chicago to meet me in Atlanta for the weekend. And, you know, they drove. So I think people would drive, you know, to save money if they had a whole family. If it was just one of them, maybe they hop in a plane and just come. But I also want to see if there's any interest in that. And I'm going to put it out there, not just to Team YRG. I'm going to put it out and around. But first I want to know from our group of people who would be interested in that. So please want to send, if you are interested, you're listening to that, before it even gets there, you can message Robert. That's Robert at YRG Workout. Robert, is that true?
Dallas Page.
Robert at DallasPage.com. So if you're interested in that, and you can let him, I'd like to have it as cheap as possible. Robert, I think that's you. When you're moving, you're sending some feedback into this headset or whatever.
Yeah, I just moved my microphone a little bit. That may have been me.
Okay, cool. No, I don't know, nowhere near as bad as the last 2 weeks, though. So.
Oh, no.
We're batting 1,000 right now. So I thought about that. So if you have any feelings about it, and like I said, I will put something up there on the site. But if you're from a you know, different country, I know we get people from England listening to us, and we got people from all over. And if you are coming in from, I know a lot of you just want to listen to the cast or whatever, the broadcast. But if you want to come on here and get on the chat room and talk to some of the people here, what is the YRG Workout Roundtable? What is it, Robert?
Oh, YRGRadio.com.
YRGRadio.com, and then just hit the little chat room button?
Mm-hmm, yeah, there's a little red button that says play/chat, and they can just click on that.
Okay, cool. We'll announce that again later on. I want to bring on my co-host tonight now, Terry Lang. What's been happening in your world lately, Terry?
Let's see. What's been happening? Good things always. Good things always. Just continuing to eat healthy, do the right thing, trying to battle a little inflammation in my body. And so I'm dealing with the carpal tunnel. That's why I've been quiet online a lot. I hurt my wrist, and it's hard to have a massage therapist with a damaged wrist. So I'm being kind to it.
Yeah, I missed out on my massage last time to Atlanta. So I can weather that.
That's right. We did not see where you were very busy doing the reality film with Steve. I remember you were caught up in that.
I want to thank everybody for actually taking the time to go and vote so many times, because we ended up doing a lot of votes. So it was over 850,000, and views were up around 400,000, and people are still coming and viewing it now, which is pretty cool. And I'm about to put together a reality show on that note, because I'm not counting on getting on Oprah's team, even though I would love that. But that to me is a, you know, pie in the sky fantasy goal. If it happens, great. But in the meantime, you know, you can't wait for other people to achieve your goals for you, or you can't, you know, put the work in and then sit back and then go, okay, you know, that movie, The Secret, if I just wish for that bike, it's going to appear outside my door. You know, it doesn't work like that. You got to work for it. And it works like that when you're doing the workout or your eating plan or your mindset or your job or whatever it is. You got to put the work in. So presently, I am putting together a concept that, for lack of a better name right now, my buddy Eric Pankowski came up with this name, and he calls it Mr. DDP's Neighborhood.
I like that.
Yeah. And, you know, it gets mixed emotions. People like it and love it or laugh. And other people go, well, that sounds a little kinky. And I go, well, that would be a little bit of me, too. But
I can't picture you in a sweater.
Yeah, me either.
Well, I don't know. Remember when you did that kids show with one of the wrestling things and you sang these little songs?
Oh, God.
I can't remember. I think that works. I see you there.
Oh,
with a big sweater. Big sweater.
I actually did this thing with Brock, for any of you people who is called Space Ghost. And I actually sang a song, and I wouldn't really call it singing. It was sort of like singing the way William Shatner sings. he just sort of talks with a little bit of rhythm. And that's what I did. Now, I got to find that. And
you got to run that clip. That's cute.
Yeah, that's something I was filming Ready to Rumble at the time. And I'd already filmed that, and the director came up to me. He goes, DDP, I just watched you this morning on a cartoon. And I was like, oh, you saw the break? He goes, my kid loved it. You know, he was like three, you know, he was feeding his kid. And I came on doing this bit about Brack. So we'll find that and put that up on Team YRG. Again, if you're listening and you're not a member of Team YRG, you just happen to pick up the broadcast because you saw it on Facebook or you saw it on Twitter. Matter of fact, Robert, do me a favor. Will you tweet on both of on Twitter and let them know that we're on the air right now and they want to come on by, and also do a thing on Facebook for me too? So we got that
absolutely
up there. I always forget to do that right before I run because, of course, I'm always doing like multitasking things, and just happened to call Robert to ask him about, by the way, did we do this? And then I found out Nikki wasn't going to be here tonight, and then he goes, yeah, she said we should be on at, you know, 10 of to do a sound check, and I looked up and it was 8 of, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe I should actually go and do that. My day consisted of today of getting together meetings for this Mr. DDP's Neighborhood. And What it is like, for right now, it's my life and what's happening in it, Angie and the, you know, everything with YRG and everything. But it's going into three different people's homes, and one would be an obese family that, you know, is obviously being really challenged with, you know, their lifestyle and really, really, really want to change, because I'm only dealing with people. As much as I love Carney Wilson, I will not be working with Carney Wilson on TV again unless it's the Carney I worked with the first time. I'll never put myself in a set up to fail situation again. So I will find a family that is really, really wants to change. But I'm not going to be there for a week like Jillian. This is for 6 months. And then I go to a disabled veteran who needs help, a la someone like Arthur. And then I go to a female that, you know, maybe raised her kids and is on the other side of it, maybe in her late 40s, early 50s, somewhere around there, who, you know, needs help with weight and just mindset and the whole thing. Because it is, as you guys know, what I do is not just about weight or just about the workout. It's about how to eat. It's about how to think. It's about how to reboot your brain. It's like I did with Terry, who was the first one I ever worked with. And what would you say, Terry, coming into something? What you actually had me around, but we weren't really working out together or anything like that. We didn't get that till later. It was more the mental stuff, you know. So, what do you think of a show like that? What do you think of the odds of something like that?
I
mean, people watching.
I think it would be great, and I still think it's always still the mindset. Every day, even for me, 9 years later, it's always what I'm telling myself, what my attitude is, what I'm thinking. And the workout is fabulous, but there are lots of workouts and lots of ways you can move your body. But if you aren't in your own head, like you got into my head, because you're right, you're busy in the ring, you're all over the world, you pop in and out every week for your massages or a couple times a week or whatever. But it was always about the mindset. You kept me in focus and moving forward and teaching me how to handle all these things that come up or the very things that would cause me to eat or turn back to food. That's the biggest thing you ever gave me. The biggest gift was the messages I tell myself and how to keep myself in that mind frame.
You know, and there's a good example of that right now. By the way, Robert, we got any callers or anything? Let me know if we do, okay? If we have anybody who wants to get in, okay? But we'll be actually inviting people in very shortly, but I want to get Judy up here first. On that note, on that thought, I was talking with Jamie, and everybody who's on Team YRG knows who Jamie is because she will almost always be first or second, you know, to get a hello and welcome to Team YRG, and I love her for that. And, you know, she lost 50 pounds, and she got down to, you know, 150, and then she was feeling really good about that. She wanted to get those last 10 pounds, and then, you know, she stopped sending what she was eating, and she used to send me what she ate all the time. And I just look. And sometimes you don't have to look because, you know, it gets so repetitive. People, they get it. But then she just stopped. So I let a few months go and didn't say anything. And I said, so I called her up. I said, so Jamie, how you doing? She was good. I said, so where are you at right now? And then she told me she slipped and she gained like 20 pounds. And I think it only took her about a month and a half, maybe two at the most. And she went back to writing down what she ate, got back on track. She lost the 20 pounds. Now she's back to where she was, which is great. But it was something as simple as not writing it down, not writing down what you're eating. Now, if you've got a problem with food, that's you, Robert.
That's me. Sorry, bro.
Okay. If you've got a problem with, you know, with food, if food is a problem for you, meaning that the weight comes on and off you, well, then you've got to find something that helps you control it. And I remember one of the first things that I asked Terry when I noticed she was losing weight, well, what she did, and that was one of the things you told me, wasn't it, Terry? You started writing down what you ate?
Right, because I just was so focused on just getting healthy that I really didn't follow a lot of the better rules that you have for being successful in writing things down, taking those pictures. It's kind of amazing I got where I was doing not so many things. You know, I was a late starter. I was just so focused on I was going to just get healthy. I didn't set a weight goal, a lot of things. I was just determined to see where the ball took me. And
well, I remember you did have one serious goal, and that was by the time you were 50.
That's true.
You know, so you started at 6 months from 50, and that 50, I remember at one point it said, I'm going to be 100. I know you said at one point, but in the beginning, you're right, because you didn't want to commit. And that's
right.
What a lot of people...
I failed before in my 40s. I didn't want to commit.
And
I wanted to be healthy, but I wasn't sure I knew what healthy was. But you are right. I knew I was going to be there in 6 months. By the time I turned 50, I was going to be a different me. I just didn't have it in numbers and words.
Right. And you didn't want to commit. Because you never want to take the pictures. And
right.
Well, you were scared to death of pictures. So, you know, on that note, now I want to bring on Judy here. Because Judy and I, you know, we worked together years ago. How many years ago was it, Judy?
It was 87 to 80, eight, so 22 years ago.
22 years ago.
Yeah.
And you've always had an issue with weight, right?
Oh, yeah. Since I was born. I mean, I remember being 10 and being in the doctor's office, and he basically said, yep, should have been a boy, built like your dad, you'd make a great linebacker, you know. So you get a great image right from the start. I was really active. I was a tomboy and running around the neighborhood, and, I mean, I was big, but I was also athletic because I played a lot of sports and I was really busy until I had some issues later on, and then it started to just build up. And what we did is, it's interesting because I can see what you used to have us do and how much all of the tools have changed. We just used to get, we used to call what you were infectious enthusiasm. Because no matter what we were doing, you kind of made the energy jump up in the room. You've always been that type of person. So no matter what we were doing, an event or looking at things or when you started doing your wrestling things, and you guys all worked out. You all went to the gym all the time. And, you know, it was a nightclub in the 80s, so basically most of the people we worked with that were behind the bar looked like they were coming off of a magazine. Those of us in the office, the brainy girls, no one really cared what we looked like. But we kind of did. So went to the gym, and we used to do, you could eat whatever you wanted one day a week. And that's how we started. And it was, I had to wait till one day a week. I had to follow eating good, healthy food all the time. And then that one day, I could have whatever I wanted. So all week long, I'd think, okay, I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that, I'm going to have this. And then the day would come, and I really didn't want it anymore. You know, and that was kind of the first time I realized, okay, half the time, I've just been throwing stuff in me because it's the time. I didn't bother to eat all day. I'll just throw whatever, you know, in me to, because now I'm starving. It's 8 o'clock at night. I should just eat. And just never was healthy. And every focus was always the job. Or taking care of someone, or, and now again, it's the job. And I've never learned how to balance, how do you be a healthy, active person with doing your job and making sure you take care of yourself. So that's why this program with the lifestyle change is so very different and better. It's still a struggle. I'm still kind of having some interesting times trying to struggle with those things. But it's the planning. It's the writing everything down, like you were saying. It's planning ahead to make sure that you have things available for you that's the right things for you to have, and to just keep trying to work with that and actually getting up and moving every day and doing exercise every day. For me, that's like huge. I was that person that doing the Diamond Dozen, I was in a sweat already when I started this time. So,
yeah.
You know.
So let me interject here.
Sure.
When we're younger, And some of you people out there may be in your 20s or early 30s. That's younger. When you get to your later 30s and 40s and 50s, everything changes. That's my phone. I'm not answering that. it changes. See, when you're younger, you've got all these enzymes that, you know, Terry, you might want to elaborate on that, but you have so many things that you can fight off infection. You can party your ass off. You don't get your hangover. Okay, I got to really drink like a pig to get a hangover, because I could drink like a gabon, and you know, and for me to get a hangover, you built up resistance because you're younger. You can have that one. You could still eat weed and eat this and eat that, unless you have a serious allergy and a borderline celiac. When you're younger, you can eat all that shit because your body, it just adapts because you're younger.
I wanted to interject, Paige. It's because you have a strong immune system. In general, you're born healthy and with a strong immune system. And then as our years progress, the things we're eating incorrectly, the diseases, the germs we get, those kinds of things start pecking away at your immune system.
So if
it weakens, you start aging and you get sick and you can't burn the calories that you did because your body's been slowly poisoning itself, and some people more rapidly, like someone like me as a celiac, I have to deal a lot with the inflammation and the damage that's going on inside me, and it makes me softer and a soft body, even when I'm working out and being harder. And when I get a little sick, my body turns to jelly, as Paige would know, the arms and the thighs, even though I do the work, it's the inflammation building up and my immune system is challenged.
And that's why you say, well, why can't I do this now? I've always been able to eat this. Well, guess what? You're older. You don't have that immune system. You don't have all those things to fight for you. So back in those days, Judy could say they have that one day, and if you go off, go off. Do what you're going to do because you'll bounce right back because you're a kid.
Right.
And your kid's in your 20s. So now, so Judy, what did you end up losing that first time?
60 pounds.
Yeah, and
I was pretty much
good.
In the best shape of my life then. Seriously, I mean, it lasted for a little while after you know you had gone out on the road, but at least I was doing active things all the time and was busy. But then I don't know. Then I came back here for a while and got an office job. And you know, I love New England. I'm actually in there. I'm there right now. I'm actually sitting on the dryer at my old parents' house right now. Flashback of hiding from people while talking on the phone while in high school today. But it's dark and gray here and blacky.
Yeah.
No one really goes out much, you know. So same thing. You know, good job, work all the time. You don't really take time. And, you know, and then I found out that I have really severe clinical depression. I didn't know what I had all this time, but I'd found a doctor here that helped me with that. And then I got energy again, because basically it's like when you're not at work, you're so tired of having your normal face on, you're so fatigued, you don't have energy to do anything else. So
right.
You just pretty much crash and burn, which means it's a vicious cycle. If you're not doing well, then you're not planning, you're not eating well, you're not having a good schedule, you can't do all the things you need to do. And so some of us need a little something else to help with that and can't get it naturally, which I found out was me. So I did really good again. It was like, okay, kind of got on a path and exercised a lot. And I also had, you know, a couple other adults living with me at the time to help take care of my mom. So we were kind of all able to help each other. So that was great, and I could keep on a path because I had some help. But, you know, then I moved back to Florida, and the same thing happened. It's just kind of like I get off the idea of you got to make sure you take care of yourself, and then taking care of my mom full-time and then my husband, I didn't care what I ate. You know, I was more worried about they have to eat healthy, you know, or, you know, in my husband's case, he would die. You know, I had to make sure he had stuff without salt, without, you know, a lot of things that if he didn't get the right food, it could whack him enough. But what that taught me was, I mean, with my mom, it was her brain. Alzheimer's is kind of, you know, one thing. Well, he had bad liver and diabetes issues. And I could see from him what you actually put into your body, it would affect him. If he had too much salt, he would blow up 20 pounds of water in 10 days.
Wow.
You know? So it's like kind of being able to see, and I'm sure, Terry, being in the medical profession, it's a lot more obvious to folks like you. But for the rest of us that don't really think about it, you don't realize that what you're putting in your body can affect you so much. And if he had a lot of water, he would start acting like my mom did because there was fluid in his brain.
I think, Judy, this is also what we have to remember is that saying about you are what you eat.
Yeah.
You are every bite that you eat. But some of us do show the symptoms in a bigger-than-life way, like you said your father did. Or, but what we have to grab in our head is every bite of food is changing us. It's just in a slower pattern, but every bite affects every one of us, at least in a bad way, if it's not a good food for you, even though we just don't see it as much. It's just a slower progression, but it's still affecting us. And the other is making sure you get number one on your list. And sometimes you do feel like you're taking it away from your family. And there are always crisis times when you're right. You just really don't have the time. But long term, you need to put yourself first. You're that important and that valuable. And if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't possibly take care of anyone else, because with that fatigue and poor food, you feel, at least for me, I would feel overwhelmed.
Right.
That's when I know that I'm not feeling well. Everything
right.
stresses me out, and I'm a little crazy.
Right. And honestly, the younger that you start to think like that, everything that you put in yourself,
exactly.
the better. I mean, because I mean, I am thinking like that now. It was actually great flying today because I'm looking at all the healthy options in the airport going, okay, I got my snacks just in case, but it was great. I could have a salad for lunch. That was awesome. You don't realize how much is out there until you start looking. And it's there. So people that are traveling that say this is hard, it's not. You got your nuts with you. You got a little dried fruit with you, and you can get a salad on your trip if you look hard enough. So
it's all about planning. It is about preparation, and this summer
right.
Or when I'm, like, traveling, I'm going to go away to Chicago and visit all my family.
Right.
And they'll be going from pizza place to pizza place. Every single childhood haunt will be in front of me. But it's still about planning and going to Whole Foods when I get there and just trying to remember that I'm worth the effort I'm making to feel well.
See, and that's the hard thing if you have issues with, like, you know, if you have depressive issues or if you are just so tired with what you're doing, you don't think that way.
Exactly.
And it's part of the mindset, which is actually the other part that is so helpful about this program and everybody that's there. It's that reinforcement from everyone, and it's the other, you know, goals and setting things and being able to feel good about yourself because you did good things, relearning those patterns because you don't think about it. You're either numb to it or you think, oh, well, it's not worth the effort, you know, which isn't normal the way normal people think all the time. So you need that as a positive way to go. So I did try to do just the food. I mean, I did that, well, I don't know, 2 years ago now, that I started to eat better. I'd seen Paige need that, you know, positive boost or whatever. I'd seen him in Fort Myers and was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'd seen Smokey. Smokey was an amazing transformation. And he was like, you got to watch me on this video. This is amazing. And it was. So I thought, okay, well, I can do this. And I was doing the eating, but I wasn't really exercising enough because I was still kind of tired. And then I waited too long. You know, I'm 45 now, so I should have started paying attention in my 20s and didn't. So now I have issues with immunity and with the depression and diabetes, and all of these things have caught up with me. So it's a little harder to make those adjustments, but if you just keep seeking to learn more and more about it and getting support from the group and from you, Paige, and from everyone else, then you can learn about what will work best for you. And the good part is I haven't had to think at all about what I'm putting in me isn't good right now, and that's an awesome feeling. And
oh, that's great. Look at the great habits you're forming. That's what I somewhat depend on over 9 years. It's not like I don't have my days or thoughts.
Right.
But I've acquired such a habit that I do believe I eat, I sleep, I exercise, I breathe. And I used to leave the exercise part out of that equation, but now it all has to go together.
Right.
Or I don't have a good day. And I recognize that. And sometimes, Oprah said it once, sometimes when I get up in the morning, because I work out in the morning first, that I don't always want to go down the hall at my gyms in my house and do this. But what I find is I automatically go there, and
right.
I just say I'm going to work out. It may not be the best workout at all, but I start it. But once you start it and you just do some breathing and opening up with the YRG, your endorphins kick in or your mind centers.
Right.
And when I was dealing with my father with Alzheimer's, that was my sanctuary. Every time I stepped on the mat, I forgot the pain around me, and I could clear my head and go out the door going, I can do this today. And Paige was around when I was really struggling with losing my father.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I wish I'd had that. I probably would have been in a much better place at that time, so I'm thankful
well,
I do now.
Well, and what's a lot of things that you're saying, Judy, about, you know, about the eating habits and what Terry's saying about, you know, you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't really know. And what's really cool is I get to see a couple families like the Page family, Rob and Tracy, you know, they've got three boys and a little girl, and they get it. And they know. And then I look at the Wilkerson family, you know, Kaylee and Brett, you know, they got two kids there that are already into this. And I mean, she came up to me, his daughter came up to me, and I was at an autograph signing, and they'd come. These are people I told you drove from Chicago to see me in Atlanta just because they wanted to meet, and they knew we were going to do one YRG workout. And they came all that way. And first thing Kaylee said to me was, thanks for helping me get skinny.
That's great.
I never had anybody in an autograph session come up and say that to me before. And I got to tell you something. I'm going to put this up on Team YRG because it is so absurd. Stacey Bale, my West Coast massage therapist, who's another amazing massage therapist and who has lost like 40 pounds. And, you know, I said to her one time, I said, just stop eating wheat and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, full-blown celiac. Didn't know that.
Wow.
I just knew that wheat would help her feel better. And her wrist was so bad, she worked out, because she's one of the women who actually gets to work out with me, you know, a couple days a week. And, you know, we take care of each other. I train her and she takes care of me. And she couldn't put any weight on her wrist. And Terry, as you know, that is like, oh God, you know,
career in. Yeah.
Right. So she, you know, she had her wrist strapped up and she used blocks. So here's an Arthur method of, you know, modifying using, you know, blocks or chairs or whatever he used. He used everything to modify when he first started. But she put the three yoga blocks up on a row and then put her elbow down. So now she could be in a plank position because she couldn't put any form on her wrist. Well, it took about 9 months, and she finally got off of the blocks and onto the wrist. And today we did a workout today, and we were in side plank, foot in the air for counts of 10. Before we go to the other side, you know, where you flip it aside, and then you put that, you go into that side plank, but not on your knee, on your foot with your other foot in the air. So all your weight is in your wrist. And I'm staying there for 10. Then I'm going to have you put the foot down on the mat, take your arm that's in the air long to give you a really length to your body. I'm staying there for another 5. Then we're going to go do a push-up. And this is a woman who couldn't put any weight on her wrist.
Wow.
And because of what she eats, you know, and she don't eat anything that doesn't taste good. By the way, Angie made the greatest. I never liked chicken pot pie, but it was something I would eat when I was a kid because it was fast. But I never really liked it because the vegetables were, you know, they're canned and frozen, and, you know, it was shit. But I ate it because, like everybody eats, they don't know. Well, Angie made this gluten-free pie, chicken and fresh vegetables. So she puts it all in the she makes the, you know, the gluten-free blah 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 and all that stuff, mats it all together, and then cooks it, so it really sort of steams the vegetables. So they're amazing, and the chicken was so moist, and the flaky, I mean, to me, once it really gets out there, because no one knew what the hell gluten-free was 3 years ago. When we were writing a book, you know, for the program guide, no one knew what it was. I was just going with my gut feeling. But as it turns out, a lot of people know it, especially if you're listening to this right now. If you try that pie or her apple pie crust, you will never eat it with wheat again. Because it's so completely different. It's so light. But she's going to put that that recipe up on her My Picky Eaters for this week. So if you haven't heard from it, send her an email and ask her, where's the chicken pot pie recipe? Because it's amazing. Now, this is something that Sandy brought to my attention, and that's why I brought her up as well. Whenever you do anything that is not the norm, and this right now is not the norm. Of course, you go back 5 years ago, and people think you were from the planet Venus before they would, you know, listen to you about this.
Right.
This is from the Health Freedom Alliance. Underneath it says, preserve and protect your health freedom. This is a serious article. I'm just going to read a bit of it, and you remember I'm ADD and dyslexic as it stops. Okay, the title of the article is Eating Healthy Food is Now Considered a Disease. I'm not bullshitting with that line.
Wow.
Okay? And then I'm going to read just a bit of it, and I'll post it on Team YRG because I definitely want to hear your comments. It says, eating disorder charities are reported to rise in the number of people suffering from what they believe is a serious psychological condition, characterized by an obsession with eating healthy. Did you hear that first paragraph? I'm going to read it again just for the hell of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Eating disorder.
Hello?
Did we lose you, bro?
Oop, I lost you for a minute.
Yeah, it looks like his Skype cut off there.
It's because that article blew up in his hand because it's blasphemous.
Yeah, he's trying to reconnect right now. And he was going good too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was. Yeah, still dead silence. Well, I know what he's saying because I have to say, I didn't think about food so much. I would eat healthy over these earlier years, but once I became a celiac, it seems like I've had to go through, I think about food all the time.
Right.
And the trick is, for those of you choosing to eat gluten-free, there's a difference between occasionally not or being able to and never. And the main difference is you're choosing not to eat it, but if it slips in your food through a salt shaker, because they put wheat salt in a lot of seasonings and all kinds of subtle ways, that brings me down to my knees. I get very sick. And so it makes me a little more reclusive or a little less trusting to go out. I cook a lot more. So I find it's like 24/7. I don't go anywhere, test anybody's food. I can't trust anything without 50 questions. So that's somewhat I get where I don't seem to ever escape it unless I'm in my own house with my own food.
See, I was kind of doing that just because I was afraid I would eat things I couldn't. Because I'm lucky, I'm choosing to do the non-dairy, gluten-free. With a little support from the doctors who say with all of the allergies and immunity and other issues you have, the less dairy, the better. So, you know,
right.
Cut that out. That's only going to help you.
Right.
So I'm lucky in that instance because that would, you know. But then again, I can't eat a ton of chocolate anymore. I'm diabetic or that'll make me sick. So
right.
No matter what you do. But if you're staying at home, then you know you're not going to be tempted by other things as well. So it's. I've kind of had to drive myself home rather than some nights I want to stop at the store and I just don't. For you know,
how,
things
how,
I do want to pick up.
Let me interject. How long have I been off?
About 2 or 3 minutes, probably.
Did I get in the thing about the healthy eating thing?
You did. You were about
you
to read
it
again.
We're going to reread it.
Right.
Okay. Then I disappeared. Oh, that's funny. So I just kept talking and then I went, hello? Hello? You know, that is so funny, man, when you just block call. So I didn't mean to interrupt you. Because the only reason I know, because I saw Doug as number up there, and I was going to bring him on. Is that Doug, Robert?
Yeah, that's Doug. He's just listening right now.
Oh, he's just listening? Okay. Well, if he wants to pop in, he can.
Okay.
It's so funny when I go on a rant like that. The bottom line is I'm going to put this article up there. And did you hear what I said about the orthorexia? Did I tell you what the name of this disease was?
No. What? No.
Oh, okay. So let me read this again. The condition orthorexia, like anorexia,
okay.
Orthorexia nervosa affects equal number of men and women, but sufferers tend to be aged over 30, middle class, and well-educated. That mind-boggling? I mean, it basically says you have intelligence, you've lived life, and you realize, you know what? I need to start eating healthy.
Right.
If I'm going to be able to, you know, survive and not have to be walking around with the canes and the little golf cart and, you know, the whole deal. And this whole article gets into basically – it's like a spin, the spin doctors for, no, it's okay. Like, why can't you eat the McDonald's? You know, why shouldn't you eat? I mean, they get really into the whole thing of, like, how good is bad and bad is good, and it's really weird.
Wow.
But I will be posting that at the end of this show, so you can find that up there on Team YRG. So what did I interrupt? I'm sorry.
Oh, we were just
filling time.
Yeah, right. We were just talking about how sometimes it's hard to go outside and eat other places, whether you're choosing to do dairy gluten-free like I am, or you need to like Terry does, and how sometimes it's easier to just stay in your home than to go anywhere else.
Because we were talking about how the article said you were just so focused, or you know, that you're overthinking and always thinking about the food that you eat, and we're so obsessed with it. But
right.
I was saying somewhat that's the difference in choosing to do something or absolutely must, because I can't just look at people's food and say, okay, I don't see any gluten there, because
right.
a lot of people think of the obvious gluten, but I have to think of all the hidden ones. And by the time you go through the 40 questions and you still miss one and they still contaminate it and you still get sick, and that it does seem to me that I have to think about food a lot more than I used to
and
when I go out.
And it's that thing to make food the way like our grandparents used to make food.
Right.
You know, you get it from the butcher or the vegetable garden and you actually cook your food. And for an entire
exactly.
generation, we've kind of gotten away from that. And look,
it
where
it's easier,
gotten
that.
All
better.
Kinds of horrible
and that,
things going on.
That's why we have the obesity overrun that
yeah,
we have.
Exactly.
When they talk about childhood obesity, it's not
yep.
childhood obesity, it's family obesity. Because
exactly.
one
excellent
of those,
statement.
One, most likely both. Both are most likely obese,
right?
And you know, and what's so the and that's where you know the 90% the learning to having to deal with food on an ongoing basis that has to do with you know that relationship to food.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can have great food,
mm-hmm.
it that tastes great. And
yeah.
if you're extremely overweight, I don't care how much, you know, non-gluten you eat. If you still eat a ton of gluten-free stuff, you're still going to gain weight.
Right.
It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. But if you cut it out and then you watch your calories till you get to where you want to get to, and then you continue to work out. Like, if I'm going to overdo it and just eat, like, I don't know, have you ever tried Bliss ice cream? It's a Coke. It's made from coconut. And they have a cappuccino that is just to die for. I mean, I'll go for a month without eating it. But when I want to eat it, if I want to eat the whole thing, I'm gonna. And there's this package of stuff. I gotta find the name of it. I can't get it right now. If you remind me, I'll find out. Whole Foods, and it might be just here in LA because the guy was actually there who invented this pastry that is gluten free and something's got cinnamon in it. It's all health. But he took it, and he had one that was garlic and one that was cinnamon and one that was something else, and he chopped it into little chunks, and then he put them in like a little cooker, you know, this little thing that cooks toast, but it's on its side, so you could, you know, stick like a little pizza in there or something, and he stuck these little knobs in there, and he's got the little cup, and he's sitting on his little chair, and he's got his funny little hat on, and he's, you know, he's comical. But he's got the ice cream, and he's got spaghetti sauce. He goes, "You want a little pizza?" I said, "Don't eat wheat." He goes, "Either do I." I said, "I'll try one." So he takes this little thing, and I'll get you the name, and I'm sure you can order it online. And all he did was stick a little hole in it, and it's like a pocket. And he put a little scoop of spaghetti sauce in there, which is a good spaghetti sauce. I ate it. I was like, wow, that was delicious. He goes, try the ice cream. I said, I'll have another piece of pizza first. And I ate another one. I was like, oh, my God, that's delicious. And he goes, okay, now try this. And he put this hole in another one, and he just put a tab of ice cream in there. He goes, want a little chocolate? I said, nah, I just want to try that. It was unbelievable. So there are all of these choices, but there's still, until you get your weight under control, until you hit your goal, like if I was going to say now eat what you want to eat once a week, I'd say once a month, and if you have to lose 50 or 60 or 70 or plus pounds,
right.
I'd say that
like,
treat
like toasted. When he went on his trip with his family, he made good choices, but it wasn't as strict as his usual diet, and he had a wonderful time for his day and got right back on. So that's a good way to do it.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
It didn't happen overnight. You didn't put on that weight overnight.
It's not going anywhere overnight, right?
It's good, but it's going to go way faster than it came.
Right.
That's if the beauty. Right. If you stick with the program, if you stick with the workout, if you get yourself that first step, that's all it really takes. That first step. And believe me, there's times I don't want to get on that mat.
Right.
I just don't. But by the time I get off, I go, boy, I'm glad I got that out of the way.
Yeah.
You know?
I've said that a few times. Yeah.
But everybody
and
does.
Just starting. But even all of those like snacks and cool things that Angela was talking about that you could get to help fill in your diet, when you're just starting this out, there's no way I could ever add any of those items because you really do have to change your relationship with the way that you eat. And I'd get those rice or almond crackers, and that's what I'd end up eating for dinner because that's the old pattern. So depending on, what everyone's individual situation is, you got to totally plan what it is that you're going to have, and going with as many natural items as you can until you've lost all the weight so far seems to be working better for me as far as health goes.
That's great. And you've started back in this. You're down about 40, you'd said, right?
Right.
Yeah. And now what is the next goal that you're going to get to? Because when you get that goal, I want to bring you back on. What's your next goal? I'm not talking about the big goal. I just want to chunk it down. It's like when I decided I was going to learn how to read.
Right.
If I would have said I got to read that whole book, let me tell you, I got to grab the book because I have it. I have the first book I've ever read, and it is Lee Iacocca's book. I thought Lee Iacocca, this is back in the, the 80s, and I was just blown away by who Lee Iacocca was, period, and what he had accomplished. And I thought, you know what, this is a guy I'd like to learn more about him. Mm-hmm. And his book was 300 and – here it goes right here. 341 pages. Now, if I had to think I had to read 341 pages, all at one time, I would never have got through it. But I broke it down. I was going to read one page a night. Now, when I go to bed, I read one or two or three chapters a night, which is pretty cool because I love to read now. Now, reading has become theater of the mind for me. I read these Stuart Woods books, and I'm sure he reads, he probably writes at an eighth grade level. It's great, and the stories are great, and the twists are great. And one of the things for any of you out there who can afford an iPad, the books on there, I bought one for Angie for her birthday, and I really want to get one now, but I'm going to wait until I've earned it. And I got to set goals for myself as well. And she says when she's reading the book, when you get to a word you don't understand or you can't sound it out, instead of having to go get a dictionary, you touch it, it puts up how to say it and puts it in a sentence for you.
Nice.
Gives you the definition, everything. Like, oh, my God. Like, I know I talked to Diane Douglas not long ago, and she told me that her kids, that their school is in a program right now that – every single kid in that grammar school, when they walk in, are handed an iPad.
Wow.
And they get to keep it the whole day. All their books are on there, everything from A to Z. And then they hand it back in when they go home. But that's it's changed the world. Mm-hmm. I'm so pissed at myself because at one point I had 1,000 shares of that company. And I made good money with it, but I knew it was going to be $1,000 stock at some point. And because of whatever reason, I sold it, and I just have to laugh and breathe because I also walked away from $500,000 when I went to the WWF and could have stayed in, making the money that I was going to make from WCW. So it's not the first time I walked away from a lot of money. But I learned a lesson because I do know that I'm much smarter when it comes to different stocks and things I pay attention to. So now I'll pick something and watch it. Like one of the things I'm watching right now off the beaten path totally is for when GM comes back. And whenever that stock becomes available, they've got a lot to prove. And I believe in that company. only because it's such a big part of our country, and they've got to come back. They've got to get back on top. So I'm going to go with my gut feeling on GM and see what happens. Just my own thoughts. So I want to bring on any questions if anybody's got. We got another half an hour here if you guys want to come on. Robert, put our number in the blog talk, and will you also say it over the air?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been putting the number in there, but the number is 347-994-1216. And we've got actually Doug is ready to come on if you're ready for him.
Yeah, what happened to you, though? You just got real like Star Wars.
I don't know. Maybe yeah. I leaned back too far.
I don't know. You're fuzzy. Okay, put Dougie on. Love to see him or talk to him.
Are you there, Doug?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Robert, you not talk. Let me hear Robert. Let me hear your talk. Let me hear you talk, Doug.
Okay, I just wanted to say the one thing that you had mentioned about the sacrificing, and when you were just here, we talked about this, you know, especially for me, revamping how I'm doing everything, and I just want to let everybody know, especially the overweight people out there, you know, and Dallas is so right, you have to sacrifice to get to where you want to. It's not a sacrifice for the rest of your life. So giving up the cheeseburgers, shakes, all that other stuff for a short time, you know, like for me it was a year, and I'm shooting for another three-month goal right now to get down to what we discussed, you know, but, and that's it. It's just such a short time, but, you know, it's an amazing feeling when you get there or when you reach your goals, you know. So then you can slowly incorporate and bring this stuff back in, but, you know, you just give it up for a short time. It's not like you're giving it up for the rest of your life.
When I started doing this, I had actually made the comment to Paige when he said, you know, I'm like your sponsor. I, you know, said, it's funny, I'm thinking about this as you would have to, I'm addicted to certain kind of things and those habits and behaviors. So you need to tell yourself, you know, just like an alcoholic does, just for this one day, I'm going to not do that. And you get through your day. And then you get to your next day, just for this one day. And then after a while, it gets a little bit easier and you're able to do that. So you're right. You have to sacrifice for a little while and just keep turning your mind to something different and then get through that next day until you can reach your goal.
That's a good thing about saying, I just need to do it today. I mean, it's a recovery program, but it still is like that. I like to get up every day and say, I'm going to be the best Terry I can be.
Right.
And that's all I can hope for. And then tomorrow I get up and hopefully do better or maybe I do worse, but it's good to know that each day I'm going to get up and start the day off with good intentions, the right intentions, and see where it takes me.
Right.
Well, I dig it. You know, one of the things I often say to people is, you know, especially if they're in their 40s or, you know, 45, 50 or whatever, I'll go, do you remember when you were 20? And everybody goes, yeah, man. Yeah. But then I go, it seems like it was yesterday, doesn't it? And 90% of the people go, yeah, man, it seems like it was yesterday. I go, so 20 years went by in a blip. I go, you only have to work at this for a year.
Right.
Then it becomes maintenance. A year or 6 months is less than a fragment of a blip. It's not that big a deal unless you make it a big deal. It's like me looking at that book.
Right.
And when I first said I'm going to read that book, thinking, well, you've never read a book in your life, and you're 31 years old. Now you're going to read a book? It's a bull. But I just didn't say it to myself. I told, like, Smokey. I told different people that I was going to do it. It wasn't like I didn't make myself accountable. And not that they would have given a shit if I did, but I would have, you know. So, but I had to break it down. You got to break that goal down. That's why when I set that whole smack, you know, specific, measurable, achievable, compatible, keep it going. You know, that's what it's all about. It's all about making it one step at a time. So one of the reasons why, Dougie, I turned you off, just so you know, was because really bad connection, bro. When you came on, it was like Star Wars, and it affected everybody. So your phone is virused. Oh, wait a minute. That's where I was 2 weeks ago. Oh, my God.
So it's Doug's fault, not yours? He says it's yours.
Doug would be part of that. Dougie, that phone. I'm telling you, unless you think I'm kidding, because we'll put you on again. Let's see if the Star Wars voice comes on. Make Doug activate again. Let's see if he's part of this deal. Can Robert activate him?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Doug?
Yeah, I can hear you.
See, now you're fine. Did you change your spot where you were in the house?
No, I didn't. I just got disconnected from my phone. You cut me off, and I got called back in. So.
Because he sounds good to me.
Well, now he does. Yeah. Now he does. So good point, Doug. And I want to thank Doug. When I was with him, he hooked me up with this terabyte of computer and hooked me up with so many great movies and stuff to come back and hook up to my TV. And we've been watching him. And just want to thank you for that, bro. It was really sweet of you to do that.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, just make sure you give Ange
gave her the CDs today. I handed them to her personally. And she said she's looking forward to you coming out here before you head off to Germany. Do you know when that is yet? Do you have any time frame on that?
Probably won't be till around October time frame.
All right, then Doug will be Skyping us in from Germany and getting all sorts of Fräuleins to do IRG. he has quite a troop right down there in San Antonio. And Sue down in the Tampa area, I believe she's down there too. So he has been spreading the word, so to speak. So what else? Does there anybody have anything else they want to talk about here this last 20 minutes? Or we have another 30 minutes if you want to throw something out there just to discuss in general. Raymond, Judy, you never gave us the goal. What's the goal? What's the next goal?
I guess it's another ton for this month, but that's like in 2 days, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, that bank a little bit farther than that. So,
well, I know. That's what I'm saying. So I wasn't sure, and then I forgot that you asked me because it's supposed to be 50 by April. So shorter, I guess, however that divides out.
Okay, well, 50 by April, that's good, though. That's a time frame.
Right. That's my long-term goal is 50 by April.
Right. So get a shorter one. You don't have to give it to me right now. You can send it to me, and then I'll put
it
up there.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I'll figure out what it should be.
Okay, sounds good. Terry, anything else on your mind out there? Because I really don't have a lot right now. I've said all I need to say.
I think I've said all I'm going to say. I will say, though, this past month or two, I know that I must have put on just a 4 or 5 pounds. I didn't really weigh myself. I just wear the same old jeans from 9 years ago. I put them on and things feel tight. But when I looked at what I was doing, I was just eating more gluten-free goodies because there for the first few years there wasn't a goodie out there. You know, it was God's foods, and now that they've been having more goodies, I was indulging on them, even in my Rice Dream ice cream or the coconut ice cream. But I found I was like, oh, I'll just take a little bit. I never ate a lot of anything, but I was eating daily little bits and pieces of stuff. But
There's part of it, the daily
exactly.
word. The daily
right.
word.
Exactly what I was saying. But some of it was processed over my fixing it. And what I could tell was the inflammation, my body is just a dead giveaway on that, was it just got softer. It just clumpier again. And I'm just that sensitive to the processed food, even though my processed food comparatively is healthy because I get it without the other chemicals. You know, it can be sugar cane or not, but when it's still processed, it's still not live foods. And I usually eat so many fruits and vegetables, and I still do for those enzymes to help counter the damage done. But even when I was still doing that amount, but just adding a little processed food, even tiny amounts, my body changed drastically. And I've had to undo that. And all I did was go back to, like, no processed foods. And just remember it is a treat some other time. But it's just that dangerous. And when I can see the difference on healthier processed foods. So I can't imagine people who are eating chemical foods that have long paragraphs of stuff, what is really going on inside them. When, you know, it's just my body is a quick visual of every morsel.
I'm glad you brought that up because
beware.
We have another caller on the line which I want to bring on here. And oh, it's Stacy. Great. Yeah, bring Stacy on. Love to say hello to Stacy. Stace, you there?
Stacy.
Okay. Robert, Stacy.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, Stacy.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Stacy.
Hey, Judy, I've been really enjoying your story. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have a question. It's actually a fitness question. It took me a long time to get to the point where I could do a push-up, not on my knees, and I can do them now for about, 30 to 60 seconds, but I can only go halfway down. And I want to know, is that the sign of weak arms, a weak chest, or both, and what can I do to strengthen that part of me besides more push-ups?
Well, but that is that it's just how you modify them. And if you go back to the Diamond Dozen and you see how I show how to do the push-up where I say go into the knee and then come on one knee and trying to get yourself a little bit lower, and it's using your knees as levers. Because I worked on this with Terry, and Terry, how hard did you have to work for that push-up?
Oh, those darn old push-ups, hard, and especially because I've had a separated shoulder, so my right shoulder would cave. So it was very challenging. And just how you told me about going down, because it wasn't the going down, it was the coming up for me that would rip into the shoulder, and how I'd drop my knees and then to build strength, lift the knees up where I'm holding. But I kind of do it two ways, because I go down in full plank, but I often drop my knees coming back up.
And that would be part of it, Stace. Like when you go down, can you get down to what I call crocodile, but in yoga they call chaturanga. Can you get down to where can you hold it there where it's 3 inches off the ground, or do you collapse?
No, I collapse.
Okay, do you go
halfway?
But are you on your knees?
No, I want to be able to do it.
That's what I'm trying to say to you. Trust me, you will. That's the beginning, all right?
I think you're right. She needs to do your plan. Tell her.
I can do that if I'm on my knees. I can go very low.
Yeah, so listen to me. Once you get down on your knees and you're down low, now pull one knee off the ground. If you've got one knee, take two off the ground.
Oh, okay.
And just work on staying there for a count of 10. Like how I got Howard Fine. And this is a guy, too. And remember, women and men are built differently, especially pectorally. And I'm happy about that.
We're built for lactation. That's why. We don't have the pec muscles you all do.
Exactly. So you have to work harder. But Howard couldn't do a push-up on his knees when he started. And how I got him to, because when he would lower down, he couldn't get off the, once he got, he would collapse. So I said, okay, now go down on your knees, hold it there. Now take one knee off the ground. And when he tried to take two, he'd fall. He just couldn't support himself. So what I had him do was, okay, take one knee off the ground. Now put that knee down, take the other knee off the ground, and stay there for counts of 10. And then go all the way down, then come up in the cobra, go into down dog, walk the dog a little bit, and go right back to it. Go right down, lowering yourself as low as you can low before you lower your knees. And then when you have to lower your knees, try even lowering one knee. Just get yourself to where you're as low as you can go, and then try to pick the knees off the ground. That's how you're going to build it, because you have to build that strength there. Then you got to lower your knees, start to come off the ground, and then come off your knees as fast as possible. And that's going to be a challenge. And don't do it as part of the workout. Do it before you do the workout. That's where you're going to be your strongest. It's sort of like if you're going to lift weights, and I know you like to lift weights too. So if you're going to lift weights, if you're going to do chest that day, the first thing you want to do is bench press or incline. You don't want to start off with dumbbells or whatever. If you're going to do a machine or whatever, you want to start out with your most challenging workout and then work yourself down to the smaller dumbbells, as you graduate down because you're not as strong. So what I would suggest is that, and what we'll do is give me a call, put it on your speakerphone, and I'll walk you through it. But look at the Diamond Dozen again, because things that you noticed in the beginning that were helpful, you'll see completely different now.
Okay.
Because I actually put that in there because of how I helped Terry get that push-up. And it was realizing that the knees control everything. Just your knees down, it's like taking 30, you could be like taking 20 or 30 pounds off your chest. But really, when you're at that point where you're almost strong enough, if a person, and you've seen this in a gym before, Stacy, if a guy or a girl is on the bench press and they're picking up that bar, sometimes a person who's spotting them may put a finger or two under that bar, and all of a sudden the person can push it right up.
Yeah.
Because it's really that maybe pound or two. So in this scenario, it's your whole body and it's your whole core. So when your knees are on the ground, you still want those toes planted into the mat. You want your heels pushing back towards the opposite side of the room. You want to get yourself as low as you can go without lowering your knees, then lower. Just think of them as you know, hydraulics. Lower your knees, now lower the chest. Now try to pick up the knees. And try to pick them both up at the beginning. If you can't, don't worry about it. It will come. Do one. I guarantee you can do one. And then you do the other. And then you hold it for a while. And you go back and forth. And before you know it, you're going to be able to pick two knees off the ground. But you're not going to be able to push yourself out of that. Because it's like having the bar. You know, if you've done bench presses, right?
Yeah.
Okay, when you first start, you can't let that chest, you can't have the weight come all the way down to your chest, can you?
No.
Because it's too hard. That's where you're the weakest. You're still lifting weights, right?
Yep.
So yeah. I want you to take little dumbbells, and I want you to bring it down like where it comes down to your chest on each side, and just push up 4 inches and come down, and push up 4 inches and come down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's where you're your weakest. Because once you get over the four inches, well, the rest you can just push out. Because you have that strength.
Yeah, okay. Now that
makes, yeah, so
that gives me hope. Because I was starting to feel really discouraged. Like, why can't I do this, you know? So this sounds like a pretty good formula.
Well, it worked for Terry, and it will work. And it all comes down to if someone else can do it, so can you. I don't know if I said this last week or not. I know I was talking about last week the Roger Bannister story. Do you know the story about the 4 minute mile? Did I talk about that last week?
No.
No.
Okay. Well, I guess last week I got shut off, so it had to be a couple weeks ago. The Roger Bannister story. Roger Bannister. Before I even mention him, I should say, they said it was impossible to break the 4 minute mile. There was actually studies written about it, almost as, you know, I wouldn't say absurd, but you know, that study I was reading today about orthorexia that I'll be posted tonight. You know, you got to read that. But it's people will tell you why you can't do something all the time. It's easy to tell you why you can't do something. Well, they wrote studies about, this is before 1957, that your heart could blow up if you were to break a 4 minute mile. Your body was not conditioned to be able to do that. Well, then one day in 1957, a guy named Roger Bannister broke the 4 minute mile. It was like the shot heard around the world. You know, everything was newspapers then, man. It went worldwide. Oh, my God. Somebody broke the 4 minute mile. His name is Roger Bannister. The guy that was his top competitor, the guy who he was like, who's the best in the world? The next week broke his record and did like 3:57 or whatever it was. So now they're going to race against each other. They called it the race of the century. He beat, I can't remember the guy who beat Roger, but Roger beat him and set a new world record. By the end of that year, 16 people would break the four-minute mile. 16 different people. By the end of that decade, over 100 did. Now it's like tens of thousands of people who have broken the four-minute mile. But you just got to know someone else can do it. And then you got to get it fixated in your head. I own this. Because a lot of it is mental. I know it's physical, but it's mental. You know, and what you think you can't do. Like, I know when I getting over 300 pounds when I was used to lift really heavy. Like, that was a block for me. I get to 298, I bang it up. Put 305 on there, it was like someone put another 50 pounds on there. But then I just finally said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do three. My goal is to lift 345. And I got it. But I knew I was beating up my body so bad, I went back down to like 275. I never went over 295 the whole time I was wrestling at the end. And then I backed it back up to 275, to 250, to 225. I mean, if you're in the NFL, they measure your strength by how many times you can bench 225 pounds. It's not 400. It's 225. And they want to know how many times can you do it. Endurance and strength. So I think that'll really help you stay. So keep us posted on that. And when you nail it, I definitely want you to let us know about it. And I want you to mark this day down, because now it's like set it and know what you want to do.
Okay,
so, Robert, you said we Robert, you said we got a couple questions there. Stay on if you want, Stace.
We've got a couple questions, and we've actually got another caller if you want to take that real quick.
Well, let's take the caller first. Let's take the caller. Who do we got out there?
Hey, Paige. It's Johnny Delpa.
Hey, hello. Johnny Marino.
What's going on, buddy?
Good, man. Good to have you around.
Thanks, man.
So how you been? What's up?
So we're doing good. We're doing good. So you remember I talked to you a while ago? We were putting together a YRG class down in the Atlanta area.
Right.
That went off like a hitch. I mean, I got people signed up, and we got that going. But we moved to Lynchburg, Virginia.
Oh,
and,
you did?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
We moved in April. My question to you is, right now I'm actually hitting the gym here in Lynchburg using the treadmill and the cycle and stuff like that. My question to you is, and I'm trying to get a YRG class started here where I'm living. But my question to you is, do you recommend to continue doing the treadmill and the cycle while you're doing YRG, or just concentrate on one?
No, to me, it's a piece of everything. Like right now, I have in the works a plan, and I just secured the name, so that's the only reason I'll even say it.
Right.
I have a plan to do my fitness system place, and I'm going to call it Zero Impact Fitness. And
right.
There I will have spinning. I love spinning. I think spinning is great. Angie's spinning right now. I think that's one of the, as far as on the treadmill and stuff, I was going to say the cycling or whatever, I think the spinning's the best, you know, for me anyway, and what I see other people do and the results that they get. But I'm also have spinning. I'm going to have YRG, and there is a new form, and I thought about turning you on to this too, Stacey, to help you with your strength. It's called TRX, and you can look it up. It's pretty expensive though. It's about $180 for their system, but it's just a couple of bands, and it's not even bands. It's sort of like these. It's parachute cables. It's the guy who's a Navy SEAL, and I'm actually developing a workout that is YRG and TRX mixed right now, and it's just a combination of something I want to offer. I will teach strictly YRG, but I'll also do a combination of both, and I'll have a TRX because it's, again, it's zero impact, way better than weights. It's body against body. Drew Brees, who is a the quarterback who won the Super Bowl this year, it's his number one workout. If you watch MMA, mixed martial arts, UFC, then you know who GPS is. I know there's a lot of logos, acronyms there, but George St. Pierre, pound for pound, the absolute best fighter in the world right now. It's his primary workout. Now, he does a lot of other stuff too. Just like if you're going to do YRG, if you want to do treadmill, if you're going to walk, whatever you want to do. To me, when it comes to doing YRG, and I did that strictly for years. That's all I needed. And the only reason I'm looking at other stuff now is because I'm going to do a fitness center, and I want to grab people and pull them in, because there's not one person that won't walk through there, and you know this, that won't end up doing YRG as well. And I don't care if all they've ever done for 5 years is spinning. They will start doing YRG 2 to 3 to 4 days a week, just because I will enlighten them what is possible. And what I liked about the TRX thing was there was stuff you could do to around rehab as well, which is pretty interesting. So I recommend, as long as YRG is your formula, because it's all about the strength and the flexibility, that's your primary. As long as you got the other stuff, I'd do it. Do whatever works for you. Make it your own.
Okay. That'll work, man.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you, man. Robert, you say we got a couple questions?
Yeah, we do. We've got a couple actually from Ryan, and he asked if you could share the quote Wrestling Wednesday about God on the Walls. That was the first part of his question.
You broke up there, kid. Say that again.
Ryan, do I sound better now?
A little bit.
Go ahead. He wants to, there's a quote that you mentioned in your blog.
Oh,
about
the walls. Oh, what I said was, he liked that quote. For any of you guys who listen who are wrestling fans, you should definitely go to TheRealDDP, TheRealDDP.com and subscribe, because every Wednesday, and I send out other blogs as well, video blogs. Every Wednesday, though, I go back and take my career and where it's come from. I went all the way back to the beginning. So if you go back weeks, you'll find the first videotape that I ever did, how Diamond Dallas Page ever came to achieve where he went, and how hard the struggle was as well. This week I was talking about being in the WCW and managing the Freebirds, and I was talking about how, the first 3.5 years, it cost me money to be Diamond Dallas Page. You get one adversity after another. And I don't remember what example I was using going into this, but I actually was talking about how God doesn't put those walls up in front of you to keep you out. God puts those walls in front of you to show you how bad you really want it. Because you're going to get hit with one adversity after another, one wall after another. You get to make the decision, am I going to go around it, over it, under it? If you keep going through, I'll never forget Donald Trump being interviewed on The View. And, I was watching The View with Angie. Loved that show. And he had written a book called Champion, How to Be a Champion, or Think Like a Champion. That's what it was. And she said, Barbara Walters said, so what are the three things you need to do to think like a champion? And he said, well, number one is you got to love what you're doing. Number one is you got to know your product. You got to know what you're doing. You got to know it better than anyone else. You got to really have a handle on it. He said, number two, you got to love it. You got to want it. You got to be able to work 24/7 and never feel like you're working. And number three, she goes, yes, what's number three? He goes, don't quit. And she goes, oh, well, that's easy for you to say. You're Donald Trump. And he said, no, that's not true. He said, there's nothing to do with being Donald Trump. He said, I've seen people come so close, I mean, so close to getting their goal, and they quit. He said, you can't quit. She goes, but Donald, come on. Some people should quit. And she said, nope, nobody. And he goes, now hold on a second. If you're talking about that person who comes to the wall and says, I'm going to go through the wall, I'm going to burst through this wall, he goes, that guy should quit. He said, now if he thinks or she thinks to herself, maybe I'll go around the wall, or try to go over the wall, or dig a tunnel under the wall. It's all about how you adapt to the situation. And I just thought to myself, wow, you know, because there's times, believe me, where I've thought, dude, you just got to quit. And, you know, and I always just take a breath and go, bullshit, I'm not quitting. And I keep moving forward. I just figure another way to keep moving forward. But now I always have Trump in the back of my head saying, you know, you can't quit. You just got to keep moving forward. Because if you believe it and you love it, and that's why this whole thing with YRG, I mean, obviously nobody's paying me to be on this internet show. I developed this to answer people's questions so that I can answer more than just one person at a time and bring on the Stacys and the Arthurs and the Terrys and the Judys and the Henrys and, you know, and all the different people who come on and be part of the show so people can hear, okay, wow. You know, and that's why I'm glad I've had Stacy on and Terry on. So Yoga Doc can't make it. Arthur can fill in or Terry can fit in. I was going to ask Stacy to come on in. Different people. Once you've been up here and already been on here, then I'll bring you in as a co-host. You know, so this way you have different things to grab off of and it's just not me talking because, you know, I can be – yes, you know, inspirational. I can grab people and get people enthused about, you know, contagiousness, whatever Judy called it before. What did you call it?
Oh, infectious enthusiasm.
Yeah, infectious enthusiasm. but it's great to hear everybody else's viewpoint because, you know, one thing I learned a long time ago, it's just my opinion, you know. So what other questions do we have? Anything else there?
Actually, yeah, Ryan's got another one, and he wants to know where is the best place to put the heart monitor strap.
On your chest. It's got to go on your chest, and then I would put the watch on the inside of your wrist, so when you're doing push-ups, it doesn't bother your wrist, but you can also just look at your wrist and see where your heart rate's at. Next.
We've got this from the Wilkinsons, and they said that they haven't been buying fish because they saw in the ingredients that it has carbon monoxide. They said their nearest fishery is like about 2 hours away. Is it bad for us? Does it build up in the body? You know.
I'm going to let Terry handle that one.
Oh, well, I don't know. I still am a fish lover, but I do like to buy food or fish that are as chemical-free as possible. But I know you have to watch the mercury content in fish. Even your fish oil vitamins and stuff, you want to be sure you get a really good supplement because of a lot of the fish they're talking about with all the AIDS after the tsunami, different parts of the ocean where they're getting fish oil supply and your fish, all that. It is kind of scary about fish. I agree.
One of the things for me, you know, if it's wild and I want to see what kind of fish it is, like I don't really eat farm fresh salmon. If I'm in a restaurant or something like that, maybe I'll have it once in a while. Once in a while, I think it's going to hurt you. But on the other side of it, I look to see what fish you're talking about. Like, where is it coming from? I don't really want shrimp out of the Gulf right now, you know. So it's just.
Well, after you had made a comment about the fish farms, a couple of shows ago when I was doing things for the notes, I couldn't believe the number of articles about Chilean sea bass. There's been issues with viruses. They don't know if they say right now it's not a problem with people, but they don't really know yet. So I was surprised about all of the issues with fish. I didn't realize there were as many either. So, but I do know that from New England, they'll ship like boxes of it frozen to people all over the country. So there may be, like, maybe they could look online for something that's grown well, fresh, you know, frozen and shipped. So maybe that's a possibility for them.
That's how I get a couple, like a lot of my meats are individually packaged because Warren doesn't always want to eat fish like I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all, hormone-free and antibiotic-free, and it'd be like Norwegian catch salmon. And so I have to pay more. I spend a lot on my food, but not near as much as I spend on the drugs when I got sick. So, I pay attention to that.
I thought it would be a lot more expensive eating healthy because I always thought, well, you look at the prices in the store and you think, wow, that's a lot of money for what I'm getting. But what I've learned is now that I'm not buying any more processed crap food, I'm spending less money.
Crap is expensive, chips, so all that stuff.
All of that stuff adds up like crazy. I'm actually spending less money buying healthy food, and it was surprising to me. That excuse was crap, I learned.
Okay, guys, I don't want to cut you off, but we're at our end of our time here. We're at the end of the show. I want to thank you for coming on, Judy and Terry, for filling in, and, of course, you, Robert. And we had a kick-ass verbally. We didn't have any little crustacean until Doug came on the show.
Oh, no.
All right, guys, I want to thank you. Thanks for coming by, Doug, and I appreciate Ryan's questions and Stacy, of course, and my boy Johnny. So until next week, please send your questions if you have questions. I know you guys are out there and you're blogging and everything. Judy, I'm sure, will take the notes and send them up there on Team RG and check out that article. Thanks for coming. You've been wonderful. You've been marvelous, but see ya!
You love me, you hate me, you'll never forget me. Get ready to feel the...
No high five.